begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickelbignor, dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, podcaster-elect.
You've got another one.
Another what?
I saw you had an actual first episode of your other thing, your talking host thing.
I'm a greedy podcaster with two podcasts now.
We're recording on the wrong day this week. It doesn't matter to the podcast listeners, but might matter a little bit to the chat room. because it was my fault this time. There were no children with spots or vomiting or, you know, anything like that. It was just, couldn't make it.
Right.
I was out at Girl Geek Dinner. Which,
you're not a girl?
No, they have a quota. They have one quarter or one fifth or something of people that attend are allowed to be boys. And so, you know, I went. It was good fun. It was very nice, actually. It was very nice. And
so it's, like if it were the other way around, if it was 75% guys, which would, to be honest, most geek occasions are, then it's a sausage party.
Yeah.
In this case,
donut party.
Question mark.
Yeah, donut party.
Donut party, right.
Donut party. Speaking of donuts, do you remember at primary school, one of my fondest memories actually, I mean it's not education, it's the long cream donuts with a single little marble of jam on them.
That's the classic bakery cream donut.
It's not, because I've never been able to find one that has the right texture, because they are too bready now.
A lot of them are bready. Every now and again you stumble on one. If you were to go every time you pass a bakery to stop in and pick one up, you might be surprised and find a perfect one, but a lot of them are bready. They don't seem to know how to make a proper cream donut.
They're much too heavy.
It's a shame.
Yeah, they're much too heavy. I mean, it's not even that they have to have real cream in them. It probably is not helpful to have real cream. They just need to be...
I prefer real cream, though. I don't like that mock cream that they put on them.
So the chat room has suggested Taco Fest and Taco Party instead of donut party.
Right. Some other sick bastard in the chat room suggests clam bake.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd say clam bake. That's disgusting. So I've invented this week another drink it's the third, I guess, in a series. Now, what did I have? I had a orange lowbrow.
It was just lowbrow, wasn't it?
It was a lowbrow, and then there was another kind of lowbrow.
Yeah.
And this week I've got a Fiji lowbrow, and I've been watching a show called
Okay, so a lowbrow, but a lowbrow was like Fanta and vodka, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
So what's a Fiji lowbrow?
It's the Fiji soda and vodka.
Yeah, but I mean already that particular soda is reasonably highbrow.
That's right, but this is served in a jar.
Oh, okay. Oh, you got to mix it up somehow, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, it has got a lot of ice in it as well. But drinking out of a jar, there's something about it. I felt the need to do it tonight because I've been watching a show called Moonshiners. It's made me desperately want to be able to buy moonshine. Ideally, I think they call it like apple pie moonshine, something like that. And it's got like a slice of apple and it's got a little bit of cinnamon in it. And aside from that, it's just a big jar of raw whiskey.
Great.
Yeah. Fresh, unaged, you know, basically straight out of the still and into a jar. It's made me, in fact, probably want to do some distilling.
I think that's an excellent idea. You should definitely do that. That wouldn't turn out badly for you at all.
No, there wouldn't be any fires at all.
Wouldn't likely poison yourself or others.
The rule of thumb seems to be pretty clear on getting rid of the heads, and that's the only bit that's dangerous. It's like 75 mils or something per gallon or something. Obviously, I would look it up before doing it.
Give it a cursory Google.
The flavour and smell, apparently, of the heads is dramatically different, though. Because, it's got acetone and stuff in it. It's only a problem if you let all of your stuff come out into one big vessel, in which case you wouldn't be able to identify it.
The entirety of my knowledge about distilling comes from one single episode of Dirty Jobs.
Right. And did they go blind?
No, but they did find out that they drank beer the entire time they were doing it. The camera crew and everyone, some sort of rule, I can't remember what it was, that they can drink beer while they work.
Right.
That they observe in this particular distillery and brewery.
Ah, I've heard about... Oh, I think I might have seen that.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I've seen it a couple of times. It's
But that one actually is, it's a brewery, but so do they do some distillation in it as well?
No, they do both. They're a brewery, but they're also a whiskey distiller.
Right.
I think, or no, maybe it was rum.
Right.
Can't remember. Some sort of spirit.
Yeah, I remember seeing that episode and being quite impressed by the rule.
Yeah.
So it's something I haven't been very impressed by. My phone has completely fallen apart today. Just coincidentally with the release of Google's new latest Nexus, the Nexus 4. Of course, I, as most people, missed out because it's sold out in between
minutes,
20 minutes
hours.
And an hour, depending on what country you were in. And it was actually a little bit of a pain to get in on the thing. I had to push almost two buttons to put my VPN into USA mode. That was a pain in the ass. I also had to discourse.co.nz/VPN. There's a whole lot of reasons to have one, and getting around geo-blocks is a really good reason. Makes YouTube a completely different planet. I also signed up for New Zealand Post's U-Shop, which is their remailer. It was nice and easy. It was very quick signing up for U-Shop.
One thing I don't like about theirs, though, some companies are sort of fairly proactive about not supporting remailers, reshippers.
Yeah.
And they make theirs very obvious because you have to put your reference number in the name field, which is really weird.
Yeah.
As well as in the address. Like, you normally, most, you know, a lot of other ones, they'll do just, not, you know, like you have suite 56A or whatever.
Yeah.
In the address, which, you know, isn't apt to it. Outward appearances doesn't seem weird.
Oh, my God. I've just had a terrible thought. If you were an asshole and you knew someone's U-Shop address, you could fuck them up really badly. I mean, you could order on Amazon. I'm sure that they every now and then have sales on, like, weight sets. So for $20 with free shipping to a US address, you could probably order, like, 50 kilos of barbells, send it to someone's U-Shop, and they'll get stuck with a massive bill.
So do they get billed?
It'd be thousands.
Do you just have to load your credit card details in or something, and then they just bill you as they receive things?
Do you? Well, possibly they say, this has arrived. Do you want it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I looked at the service, but I haven't ordered anything with it. So
I haven't put a credit card in. So maybe that does happen.
Mm.
Maybe there is an opportunity to avoid that. If that doesn't happen, though, I mean, just think of the awful pain that you could cause some perfectly innocent friend. Hmm.
You could order some things on, what is it, Silk Road, and get them posted to them?
You could. Do they only send to the US? Does Silk Road even exist still?
Yeah, apparently. You have to go on tour to get it and stuff like that, so who can be bothered?
Yeah, well, I certainly can't be bothered. What else has happened today? We've had a massive win, actually, in our household. On the bonus bonds. So probably I'm going to stop doing the podcast because I don't need the money anymore.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
Yeah, really, really well. It was amazing, actually, receiving the email that said, congratulations, you've won $20.
From bonus bonds?
Yeah.
Nice. How many of these bonds do you own?
Like 50,000. it's like you get slightly less than you'd get if you had it in an interest-bearing account.
My grandmother used to get bonus bonds, I remember, and it was quite an effort back then to track your bonds. I'm sure you had to, like, it was published, the bond winning bonds were published in probably in the back of the Herald or something.
Yeah,
used to go through and look for your numbers.
Mm. Some very exciting
pre-internet
things have happened.
How
actually
did anything work pre-internet?
In the last, something else that didn't work very well pre-internet was discovering how fucked up people got after the US election. Because we just weren't exposed to, you know, ordinary, crazy people on the street. And it's hard to be terribly over-sympathetic for some of the nut jobs.
I mean, it becomes really obvious when this happens and you see all the nut jobs become, you know, get highlighted.
Yeah.
I assume that it would be hard. I don't think you'd run into them on the street. I don't think there's, I assume we're seeing an amplified minority in these insane people.
Yeah.
People who want to flee the country, people who want their states to secede from the union, which is just hilarious on so many levels.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine how these people think their states could survive on their own.
But there do seem to be a lot of them.
Yeah, well, they're idiots. A lot of idiots.
My favorite source of news on these lunatics is whitepeoplemourningromney.tumblr.com, which is hilarious. All these very blonde, wealthy-looking white people who just look shell-shocked or are actually crying or are chewing their nails or just look miserable and angry.
Did you see the live coverage when it was sort of right around the time it was being called for Obama, which is about 5:10 in New Zealand, I think, and there was live coverage, and they on TV One anyway, they were showing a split screen, and on the left hand side of the screen they've got the Democrat thing, and everyone's, you know, jumping up and down and hooting and cheering and waving flags, and on the right hand side there's the Romney, you know, post election party place. It couldn't be more different. It's people standing around, heads down, some people crying. You know, there was obviously one of the cameramen was having some fun. I have a suspicion it might be someone I follow on Twitter, actually, who was zooming right into the face of this woman who was crying.
Mm.
Yeah, that big fat tears shot.
People losing their shit and saying, you know, there should be a revolution. What's his name with the wig?
Oh, yeah, but it's not a wig.
Saying that there should be a revolution because Obama had lost the popular vote and that their whole electoral system was broken. Never mind that I think George Bush also lost the popular vote. But Obama, it turned out quite quickly, won the popular vote by like 2 million votes. He won everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was, and it was never... It didn't even come remotely as close as many people predicted it would.
Yeah.
The media was clearly playing up the closeness of it. What is it, Nate? What's his name? Nate Silver?
Nate Silver, yeah. 538.
Predicted the outcomes 100%.
Yeah.
In the presidential election, and got really accurate in other election predictions as well.
Yes, because he used mathematics, not just how
and
he
science,
felt.
Not just gut.
Yeah, not just gut, which is hilarious and appropriate.
Karl Rove's bizarre breakdown on Fox News was hilarious.
Yeah. You know, Karl Rove burned $300 million in the run-up to the election because he was in charge of, what are they called, PACs? Political
PACs.
Action Committees or something. He had two of them.
Right.
One was, commercial one, and one was ostensibly a non-profit one. And he burned through $300 million of donor money. And I don't know if it is the case for every single election he was in, but the 12 big ones, that he was, you know, supporting, but the 12 big ones that he was supporting, every single one of those lost. Basically, he was just poison, Karl Rove. But the thing that was poison was these Republican candidates were all awful people.
I don't even think it was that, though. The
you don't think all the rape talk, the misogyny, all of that stuff, you don't think the abortion stuff, you don't think that actually had an effect?
I don't think it actually did that much. I don't think they were ever that close.
Yeah.
I think maybe it did a little bit.
Mm.
But, I don't think it was that close.
There have been some charts that said that. Now, what was his name? It was Atkins, I think. Was he the one that spoke about legitimate rape? There's a very interesting graph that shows the Republican people who would vote Republican. I guess it might have just been a poll of swing voters.
Yeah.
And it just sharply dropped and on that date, basically, that he said that.
I mean, it's interesting, but I think the one of the things, a lot of the Republican, you know, pundits, that's the word, isn't it, who were predicting a Republican win, a Romney win, have then come out afterwards and said, oh, well, we didn't expect the high, you know, minority turnout, the high youth turnout, the high minorities and young people, really.
Well, they did try to put an end to it with some of their voter ID laws.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But
so, of course, they weren't
expecting
it.
And they know that that's a problem for them. And I think the bigger problem is that, you know, it's only going to become more so.
Yeah. That's right. Well, the demographics of the US are changing.
Yeah, exactly. There's more minorities. There's more young people.
Yeah.
And more and more they're going to... So unless the Republican Party actually changes substantially...
Yeah.
I don't think they're ever going to get. I don't think. Well, I don't know. I don't know what they have to do to get back in power now.
Yeah.
Guess we'll see.
We will see, because, I mean, they'll find a way, presumably. Historically, you know, it's swapped back and forth fairly regularly. The Democrats don't have much of a history of having three terms in a row. Republicans have had three or four terms in a row a couple of times. But for the most part, it seems to swap every two-ish.
Yeah, I think the problem for the Republicans is that they are becoming a lot more divisive. They're becoming a lot more single issue, a lot more unwavering on certain issues that that people are not, you know, that obviously they garner a lot of support for them, but they also alienate a lot of people because of them.
Fascinating statistics on Republican supporters, actually, their lack of education by comparison with Democrats. You know, statistically, on the whole, it's quite a dramatic disparity, huge. And I mean, on Twitter, I was like, "Do you remember when George W. Bush was re-elected, and there were videos around of Republicans chanting, 4 more years, 4 more years, fuck you guys,' and all of that stuff? And it wasn't very nice. And I saw people sort of starting to do the same thing again, but obviously it was Democrats with the 4 more years chant. And I just thought, you know, it wasn't very nice when it was the other way around. So maybe I'll say we, just because I'm, you know, left-wing inclined. Given that I didn't like it when they did it, I didn't think that we should do it.
Yeah, I guess, it depends.
And I said, you know, it's not that they're not stupid, they just have a different opinion. But then people started sending me all these links. And it's like, actually, they are stupid.
Well, a lot of them
They actually are stupid. And they're actually assholes. And maybe they deserve a bit of shaming. But it's also, you know, there are people on both sides who are and aren't assholes and are and aren't stupid. And, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of really reasonable, normal people, Republicans, who just, that's, you know, they feel that way, you know, and it's honestly held, but it's not that they hate the gays. It's not that they want to control what women can do with their bodies. They just, you know, for whatever reason, they think that those are their guys.
Yeah.
And I just think it's not a good idea to alienate those people. You know?
I see it happening here a little bit in New Zealand politics. I saw there was, what was it? Oh, there was something that the Labour Party posted, which was a graph of unemployment, you know, and colour-coded by you know, Helen Clark years, and then, you know, obviously it's spiking up in John Key's control. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's accurate, but it's not. It doesn't tell the whole story.
And well,
it's unreasonable.
It doesn't tell the whole story, but the Nats don't do themselves any favours either.
Yeah, there are valid things going on, but there was also, you know, a massive financial issue in that. And this is exactly the same as the criticism that the Republicans were firing at Obama. And that is, you know, that the unemployment's gone up. And it's like, well, yeah, it has. But
look at the chart. The chart of employment and job creation under Obama is actually pretty amazingly in his favour.
Yes, no, he has certainly recovered it, but that's...
By comparison with Bush, certainly, who was just a disaster for employment, it's a dramatic change.
I get frustrated with people trying to score points. I just, you know, don't... Yeah, things like that just irritate me, because they're deliberately telling only part of the story.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I mean, there's only so much you can
get. Which seems to be the entirety of US politics, and I would prefer that we don't go that way here. I would like to actually have substantive discussion.
Yeah. I would like it if we would go Republic. Of course, in lieu of Charles visiting. And he actually came to a building two doors down from my office.
Did you throw any horse poo at him?
Absolutely not. No, I would never do anything like that. I might ask awkward questions, but I didn't even do that. No, I was now it's kind of stupid because obviously he's going to look how you expect, but it was weird how much he looked how I expected. It was like, oh yeah, that's him. He's exactly the same as he's always looked. He's a very, very famous man.
Yep.
Yeah. If I'd had an opportunity to ask a question, it actually probably would have been of Camilla, you know, wondering if she worried about her phone being tapped. And maybe suggesting to her that if she ever felt at all squidgy, she maybe should not do it over the phone. Yeah, that stuff is all very awkward. I had, well, for whatever reason, in my memory vault, which apparently doesn't have a back wall and the windows are all broken. I remembered it as Charles having said all the squidgy stuff, but actually it was Di's boyfriend that said the squidgy stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought what was the but it was Charles to Camilla, wasn't it?
Was the other thing that we done.
Oh yeah, let's not even. Okay, good. Moving on.
What a dirty bastard! Another amazing and huge and to me very unexpected thing was Disney acquiring, I guess, all of Lucasfilm and all of Lucasfilm's IP, which means, you know, top of everyone's mind, Star Wars. But there are some other things, which is quite exciting. There's already a writer, apparently, for a new Star Wars Episode 7. And presumably, if it goes well, a new trilogy. And who knows how many more films.
Apparently they've already peaked a new trilogy, and they're going to release a new film every, 2 to 3 years?
I would be very happy if they continued doing that forever, as long as it's people of the caliber. Now, it's the same writer who wrote Toy Story 3. What was the one with the girl in the van and her family? I can't remember. Little Miss Sunshine, I think.
Okay. Well, the same writer. Good God.
Apparently. But Toy Story 3 was such an incredibly well-written film. And, I mean, it's not a hard thing for a movie to make me cry, but... but a bad movie never will make me cry, right? And Toy Story 3 friggin' nailed me. That whole thing going into the
think about it again. I'll be sad.
I was at my last visit to Christchurch before the earthquakes, and I was there with my girlfriend and her two nieces. They're little girls. One was like, they're the fish and chips girls. The fish and chips, fish and chips.
Yeah.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
The show is cancelled.
Those girls. And they were just enjoying the film. And I'm sitting there silently crying, not wanting anyone to see because, of course, I don't like people to see me cry. And Brokeback Mountain, oh, my God, I was blubbering. I'm pathetic, actually. My emotions are obviously right there and ready to be manipulated. But the guy that wrote that, I'm extremely excited to see what he does with Star Wars. And... as long as they stay away from the worst kiddie aspects of what Lucas did, which are represented by, you know, the character who must not be named, as long as they avoid that kind of thing, I could not be more excited about the prospect of more Star Wars films. I think this is brilliant and exciting.
Misa don't care.
Yeah, that guy. No, none of that. None of that.
But, I was just saying I don't care about Star Wars. I couldn't give a flying fuck.
Maybe you're just a little bit too young.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You weren't really conscious of the first ones when they were current. Now, obviously, the very first one, I was born in 1977.
My expression of distaste for Star Wars may have just led to my divorce. So, oh well.
Yeah.
That was inevitable at some point.
Should be careful. Yeah.
I've also only watched Princess Bride once.
Right. Howard the Duck, though, is also owned by Lucasfilm.
And Indiana Jones.
And look, that Crystal Skull film, with the lead-lined nuclear blast survival device in the form of a refrigerator, you know, it'd be, and swinging from tree to tree with monkeys, all of that lunacy. I mean, that was quite a bad film.
Didn't see it.
Right. That was George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. As long as neither of those guys are involved in any of these new films. And, you know, Steven Spielberg, he's been known to make the odd really good film. You know, fair's fair. But also, when he's working with Lucas, real stinkers.
I think the only reason George Lucas ever made good films is because no one ever gave him enough money to make the film he wanted to make.
That might be right.
So he accidentally made good ones.
Yeah, that could possibly be right. Yeah, that might be right. Anyway, I'm excited to see this. It's going to be ages before we do. Probably 2014.
2015, apparently.
2015 for the first one. But I really look forward to it. I've enjoyed playing
it. I think I saw a release date. I think it was December 2015. No, that can't be right.
Right, so don't hold your breath.
No, but ages.
And there's no director.
You've almost forgotten about it, and then all of a sudden the hype will wind up and you'll be like, oh, shit, that's right.
Harrison Ford said that he would be willing to consider being in it.
And
he saved the first movies, from what I understand, from talk about some of the lines that he forced George Lucas to change. You know, the "I love you, I know" thing. And that was one of his, basically all of his best moments, all of his best lines, he wrote them himself. Yeah, George Lucas, not very good. Not very good at dialogue. not very good at it.
No.
The feed jar lowbrow is the best lowbrow so far. I don't know if it is the jar or if it's the feed jar, but this feed jar stuff.
I think feed jar and vodka, I mean, they're a good combo. So I'm not surprised that's a good thing. The problem is, I think you've started with too good a soda. You needed to start with a sugary, fake flavored one.
I did start with a sugary, fake flavored one.
Well, it tastes quite Fiji-y though, doesn't it? It's not like not like Fanta is to orange.
Oh no, what I mean is,
in terms of this lowbrow.
Right.
I don't think you can call it a lowbrow when you've used a good quality soda like that.
That might be true, but it is. I think it's fresh up.
Maybe it's a midbrow.
Might be midbrow.
Probably has actual Fiji juice in it, though, doesn't it?
Well, the can is pretty much a blank. They seem to be almost embarrassed that they make it. They hide the thing away. The cans are silver, and the only real labelling is on the plastic overwrap on the six-pack. It's lovely stuff, though. Really delicious. Excellent for summer. And they've paid nothing for any of this.
Good.
So we pretty much started with news the whole time. I'm not even going to run the another news thing, because it's just been the news.
It's all the news.
Quite
news,
like that.
News.
Skateboarder gets off warrant fine. Skateboarder gets off warrant fine. Taranaki skateboarder issued a ticket by a police officer who said his board needed a roadworthiness certificate, is disappointed he hasn't received an apology. And he's quite right. He's a 33-year-old who changed his name to Bolt Me.
Do we know he's changed his name so that he wasn't born as that?
The story says he changed his name by deed poll as a teenager.
Okay.
He was pulled over by a policeman while riding his skateboard in downtown New Plymouth and given a ticket. The police officer gave him a $200 fine for not having a warrant of fitness on his skateboard.
Yeah.
Guess what? Skateboards don't need warrants of fitness. You lunatic! What was this guy trying to do? This police officer needs a bit of retraining.
He was just bored, clearly.
They let me off the ticket, but it's not fair. They should at least have said sorry, he says. He contested it to court or something. No, he contested it in a letter, and the police wrote to him saying the officer was wrong. Well, obviously the officer was wrong. I mean, I've been to the vehicle testing station fairly regularly, and I've never seen people on skateboards waiting to go through. What, are they going to jack it up and test the suspension?
Make sure the brakes are balanced? From their lack of indicators and headlights, for a start.
Where does the license plate go?
Apparently skateboards can be confiscated if ridden in the CBD in New Plymouth.
Yeah, which is actually, that terrifies me by itself.
By local bylaw?
That absolutely terrifies me. Just let them have their fun. And if you don't want them skating in one particular place, provide really cool terrain somewhere else, and they will go there. Skateboarders like to skate fun things. It's pretty simple. Just, you know, as a rule of thumb. I was going to talk a little bit about Loizos Michaels, but better stay away from that.
Next story.
Judge calls gun parent grossly irresponsible. A mother...
Well, gun parent is a start, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it tells you pretty much what you need to know. This sounds so much like a story out of the States. It's out of the Wire wrapper. A mother who handed a rifle to her crying 9-year-old daughter and ordered her to shoot her alleged abuser has been labelled cruel and grossly irresponsible by a judge. She's 26 years old. 9 months supervision and 150 hours community service. Name suppression to protect the daughter. Fair enough. Absolute madness.
Very, very strange.
So the little girl told her mum that she'd been abused by her mum's boyfriend.
Yep.
And the mother didn't believe her and gave her the rifle and said, if he abused you, shoot him. That's pretty tough.
Yep, and then the weeping girl refused and the mother threatened to send her to live with strangers. Just, some people are shit parents.
The
girl was now staying with her grandparents.
Right, which is something. Yeah, the judge said that the offending was incomprehensible and that her actions were cruel and grossly irresponsible, which is right. What a nutter. There's something about people who stay in the wire wrapper. My family is actually, a big part of my family is from the Wairarapa. Very few stayed there. There's something about...
Oh, the woman's partner was charged with indecently assaulting the girl.
Right.
Just as a, you know...
So, the, I mean, the whole thing is, it's a story of just tragedy.
It's still what, wrong. It's a whole world of wrong.
You know how, in other ways, the world is wrong. I should push the button. I will push the button.
Next story.
50 Shades of Grey sparks divorce.
Is this the first time we've mentioned 50 Shades of Grey on the show?
I hope so.
Probably.
Might be the last time. Might not be. Okay. It's had a mate. It's over. It's rubbish, right? I mean, it's Twilight fan fiction with the words
names changed,
found and replaced, and that's basically. I mean, so who gives a shit? It's had a major impact on the publishing world, and in quite a few bedrooms. But now, 50 Shades of Grey is at the centre of an unusual court case in the UK. A man is being divorced by his wife after he refused to spice up their love life by reliving scenes from the erotic bestseller. The wife claims her husband's boring attitude to sex is evidence of unreasonable behaviour. Apparently, unreasonable behaviour is grounds for divorce in the States. In England.
In the UK is a place where you need to have grounds for divorce. You can't just have no-fault divorce, I guess.
The wife's solicitor, a family law expert, obviously, believes the case is the first where the new phenomenon of mummy porn has triggered a divorce.
I hate that word.
Yeah, I hate it as well, like yummy mummy as well.
I like that, but I hate that.
No, yummy mummy is terrible. It means someone who's not qualified to be a MILF because they're fat.
Oh, does it? No, that's not nice.
That is exactly the distinction, I think.
Oh, I'll stick with MILF then. Yeah, I think anecdotally, I suppose, how else would it be? I don't know statistically. I'm fairly sure, like some, you know, not very many steps away, friend of a friend or something, bought 50 Shades to spice up their married sex life.
Yeah.
Sounds like an awful approach.
Now, here's the thing.
Although I did notice that Peaches and Cream, because there's one near the countdown, near the Pack and Save where we live, Peaches and Cream does combo deals. You buy the book and some toys to go with it that, you know, presumably tie in with the book.
Yeah. I actually think that this woman is right to divorce her husband for this. Because I think that it is actually, now, Dan Savage came up with a phrase, GGG, good giving in game.
Oh, yes.
And basically it means do reasonable things that your partner wants you to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. If you're expecting to have a lifetime where you have sex with the same person, maybe it's a good thing to do the things that they want to do. And in exchange, you'll be able to do... You'll get them to do the things that you want to do. Now, ideally, those things would be the same. But if they're not, and they're reasonable requests, just do it. What's wrong with this guy? Your wife, obviously, was terribly bored. She had some suggestions for a way to spice things up, and you just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Just didn't do it. So screw that guy. He's boring, and his wife... You know, while she has bad taste in books...
Very, very bad taste.
She's right to divorce his boring ass. It's too bad there's not a decent segue to Paul Henry.
He's divorced.
Paul Henry's breakfast show and is really defensive of his daughter. As is appropriate, but it makes him wrong about things anyway.
Next story.
Paul Henry's... And this is terrifying, this story. Paul Henry's breakfast show... which has had in Australia on 10 for not very long. Is it even 6 months? It's less than a year, I think. It's been cancelled. And so guess what? Now he needs a new job. And I don't think he's said yet if he'd be thinking about coming back to New Zealand. But hopefully not.
Well, there was a lot of speculation that he'd take the helm of whatever the 7 p.m. TV1 show is going to be.
Yeah, and I have mixed feelings about this because he's a dickhead, but the once or twice that I saw him do close-up, which is more than I've seen Sainsbury do it because he's just terrible, I think Paul Henry's better than Sainsbury.
Paul Henry was, in my opinion, the best close-up host there was. He was a great interviewer and a really engaged host. I think what happens is he just gets bored or something when he's doing, light entertainment, newsy, morning television shit and just lets his little 12-year-old self run away with him.
And I'm sympathetic.
But when he's actually engaged and doing, you know, proper journalism type stuff, he's really on and very good.
Yeah. He seems to be pretty sharp.
Well, at the same time, TV1 has been a bit unclear about what they want to do with that show, and it may not, you know, may not be that style of show anymore. So then maybe they end up with like a Breakfast at Nighttime.
Yeah, the hints we were getting was that they completely misunderstood why the show isn't doing as well as it once was. I think that the reason the show isn't doing as well as it once was is because it's soft, and people want something a bit harder, and their solution is to make it softer. Apparently.
Yeah, they've done some good stories from time to time, but not many. And they don't do, like, Campbell's been going from strength to strength, doing what I guess some people would call advocacy journalism.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they get really into stories, and they keep following them up as well, which is another thing that, you know, you don't see on Close Up. But anyway.
So it's just been suggested from the chat room.
No, don't even mention it.
And I thought it was important that we get this out.
No.
Okay, how about this?
Poorly considered and unexpected segment.
Eddie Caudry says someone should write some discourse fanfic. I agree. I think that'd be hilarious. And we could even read it out, maybe on the overflow. We could act it out. Oh! You're going to make sounds a lot like that. And I think it's important that people know that I'm the top.
Fuck that. No,
I think it should be obvious that that's the case. But I mean, obviously, I'm the top.
No.
Next story.
Gay anti-mafia politician breaks mold in Sicily. He's openly gay. He's devoutly Catholic. And he's the left-wing enemy of the mafia. His name is Rosario Crocetta. I don't know if it's a hard or a soft C in the middle there. He broke the mold when he was elected governor of Sicily last month. And he has said, presumably he said it in Italian. But I don't know. I will demonstrate, I'm not doing accents once again. I will demonstrate that this region can be the most liberal in Europe. The mafia have tried to assassinate him 3 times.
Excellent.
Yeah, liberal as, bro. I mean, not just since he was elected governor though, just because he's been anti-mafia. But good luck. Anyway, I just think it's funny that, you know, he suggested that they could be the most liberal region in Europe. And meanwhile, people are trying to kill him left, right and centre. Yep.
It's interesting. It's certainly an interesting goal to set yourself.
Yeah. Other people apparently have strange goals and also think that people are trying to kill them left, right and centre. John McAfee.
This story is
bizarre.
Such an awesome story. I've read a number of accounts on it now, and it's so amazing.
So he said, he spoke to Wired, Joshua Davis at Wired, and he said that the police, he lives in Belize, and the police had come to his house because his neighbor was shot in the head, dead. His neighbor also a US expatriate. And he hid from the police by burying his body in the sand and covering his head with a cardboard box. He's since been in touch again, but I don't have that article up at the moment. He's been sneaking around from, I guess, his friends' places around Belize and hiding, basically, for the last couple of days since it all started off. He reckons that the police are going to murder him.
Yeah.
And that might be the case. But also, it's almost certainly true that he murdered his neighbour.
For years, apparently, now, for 3 or 4 years, he's been experimenting and trying to refine and improve on the drug that's commonly known as bath salts.
Right.
Which is a massive psychoactive... I think it's an amphetamine... style drug as well. I don't know. Anyway, apparently paranoia is a very large part of it.
And that was the drug that was blamed for, like 6 months or so ago, there were various cases of people turning up naked trying to eat other living people's faces and so on.
Yeah.
Right. And it turned out that they probably hadn't taken bath salts. They'd probably taken something else. But the fact that there was any correlation at all, that anyone suspected that it was the case, is pretty alarming.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He'll be one to watch. So next thing you know, he'll be in New Zealand trying to build a cable of internet.
Yeah. It wasn't only days ago. It was actually April the 30th that the police turned up at his house. 42 police.
He's been on the run for a long time.
This was a previous occasion. This was when the police actually did catch him.
Right.
April 30, 42 police. Is that more than New Zealand sent in to get Kim Schmidt, Kim.com?
Yeah, we were 20-something for that, I think.
Right. So we thought that was pretty heavy-handed. But then John McAfee did actually have, you know, a bunch of firearms and possibly as a dangerous person. Anyway, he was in... when the police arrived, the 67-year-old man was in his bedroom with a 17-year-old local girl. Awesome.
Yeah, one of the big things he's trying to do with the bath salts drug and with other drugs is increase women's libidos is a large part of his research.
Right.
So he's an amateur pharmacologist.
He's pretending that he's doing some science for the good of mankind.
Well, apparently it may have started out that he was.
Right.
Because he teamed up with a proper research scientist, and they were a couple.
Yeah.
For a while, but they fell out. Probably over his addiction to drugs.
Right.
His interest in, yeah, not so much help, but whatever.
Now, he said that he thought that his neighbour was probably killed by people who went to the wrong house and wanted to kill him.
Probably, yeah.
And that might be true. And if that's the case, you know, I regret suggesting that he was the murderer.
Well, he believes he may be involved. He believes he may be being targeted by local gangs, right. Which again isn't that unlikely given his involvement in drugs
and given the whole region.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, it's very strange that another sort of computer security person is getting mixed up in all this lunacy. Given
Fred Norton never does this.
Yeah, but Hans Reiser, who? Now, I mean, that wasn't antivirus. That was, you know, file systems or whatever. But still. Being clever does not stop you from being crazy. In fact, it might contribute to craziness.
Might be the other way, yeah.
Next story.
Speaking of Kim.com, his new mega domain, as we all have heard, was shut down.
ME.GA.
ME.GA. Shut down by Gabon. Gabon. It's a good domain, ME.GA. Yeah. His new domain is mega.co.nz. Not nearly
as good. You see, if he thought about it a little bit more, he could apply for a second level domain. He could get mega.nz.
And he could probably, I mean, what some of how the many, stupid how much shit that's been supported. I mean, a couple of hundred grand and he'd be able to do it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he could do that. We should probably tell him.
He might be able to get a top level if he's got enough money.
Yeah.
That's pretty expensive. I bet that'd cost about 5 million or more. I seem to recall people talking about getting things like top levels. Or maybe there was just talk about relaxing the rules on how to get a top level. I liked it when it was all a bit tighter. We've spoken before and we disagree about second levels in New Zealand. I think that they should all go away.
I don't think they should all go away, but I don't think we need to add more.
We certainly don't need to add more, and we definitely don't need one of mega.nz.
No.
Anyway, he says he's going to launch his new company on the anniversary of the raid.
Which is, what, like 20th of January or something?
Something like that.
Good.
Good luck to him. If it creates
Maybe
local
we'll
employment,
attend the press conference.
And if it encourages the creation of New Zealand-based data centres of any decent scope or scale, that'd be pretty cool. I've heard some people suggest that now, what's the aluminium smelter called?
DY Point.
Yeah, there's been some suggestions that because that aluminium smelting is not very profitable at the moment, and in fact, basically we built a hydro power generation system there, pretty much just for that smelter.
Sometimes it's using a quarter of New Zealand's power.
Right.
Something like that.
And what's the name of the Australian mining company? I can't even remember. Anyway, whatever they're called, they take all the profit, and basically they get subsidised cheap power, and they are having a very hard time making money out of it, so they want to shut the thing down and mothball it until, I guess, the price of aluminium goes up or something.
Yeah.
And so we'll have lots of really reliable power available right there, right next to a big body of water, Rio Tinto. Thinking Aloud NZ from the chat room says Rio Tinto. And so building a... and. I mean, I think that there are probably some geologically stable areas around South Island still.
Well, that was one of the arguments he said one of the arguments he said behind putting another cable in was he wanted to make New Zealand a haven for data centres because, among other things, of its fairly low carbon footprint in terms of power.
Yeah, well, we've got a huge majority of our power is generated from renewable stuff, from mainly hydrothermal, a little bit of geothermal and so on, a little bit of wind here and there, a little bit of thermal, of course, but, you know, it's hard to avoid. Anyway, I think it'd be brilliant if that smelter was shut down to use that power instead and get New Zealand into the massive offshore data center game. That would be brilliant. You know, get all of the Americans and Europe's and Asia's backups down here. Why not? That'd be great. You know, we've already got the power. We've got the cooling available. You know, there's water right there. Do it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Not brilliant.
Next story.
And this is something you might remember from, I think we did this at Intermediate. Clampdown over blackout game. The Education Ministry is warning primary schools to be wary of a dangerous blackout game being played by youngsters. The warning comes after an Auckland boy was left unconscious and bleeding after playing the game. This is a terrible, stupid game that we also played. And I'm assuming that this is exactly the same. But what we did was hyperventilate and then get, you know, someone would, or a couple of your friends would just kind of press against your diaphragm after you popped up. And you'd pass out and fall on the ground.
Right, we did it. You just we hyperventilated, and then you'd like hold your nose and do like you do to decompress in a plane.
Right.
Same effect.
Right. Maybe you had a slightly more sophisticated version of the game.
Would seem likely, yeah.
How a game we just prevented one another from being able to take another breath.
Excellent.
It's a terrible, stupid idea. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. good luck on clamping down on this. It's not like anyone needs to get their older brother to go and buy a bottle of hyperventilation.
I had a similar experience inhaling a lot of helium once.
Yeah,
turns out that if you inhale so much helium that your body doesn't get much oxygen, that you kind of black out a little bit.
I didn't black out, but I did get a horrible headache. I understand that it binds to the blood cells, preventing the oxygen from binding.
Yeah, it can do. Helium is apparently quite dangerous. It can bind to blood cells and actually cause aneurysms as well.
Yeah, dangerous.
But whatever, it's funny because it makes your voice sound weird.
Kevin in the chat room says, cerebral hypoxia for the win. I think children should not play this game, but they're going to. And then after a couple of times, they'll be like, man, why did I do that? This is really stupid. Who's got some weed?
I think I did it two or three times, either.
Microsoft, this is according to Steve Ballmer. Microsoft Surface style sales starting modestly.
Okay. Microsoft Surface, I just learned this today.
Yeah.
32 GB Microsoft Surface tablet.
Yeah.
Almost 16 GB is taken up by operating system and bundled applications.
Brilliant.
That's insane.
Isn't there a 16 GB version?
No. 32 is the smallest you get, which is effectively
for a
16.
For a reason.
Because you can only use 16 GB.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
I think that the Surface RT.
And that is the Surface RT. It's not like it's running, you know, that's running Windows 8 RT. It's not like it.
Yeah. I think the Surface RT is a lemon.
Yeah.
There have been stories about the keyboard splitting, the touch keyboard splitting for quite a lot of people. People saying that RT is just not ready. It's just not ready
for
prime
time. Did you hear about Ben's new Nokia 920?
No.
He got a Nokia 920.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Ben Grace.
This is the Windows 8, Windows Phone
Windows 8.
8
phone with the magic camera.
Yep.
Charged it, used it, charged it, used it, charged it, used it. Battery went flat, battery won't charge.
Brilliant.
It's dead. It's bricked.
Brilliant.
I don't think that's indicative of the phones in general, but certainly was of his.
It's a bad sign. I mean, there's always going to be. I mean, you know, you've got to accept failure, and then you know, hopefully, the response of the manufacturer or the distributor is what restores your trust again. When they say, "Really sorry about that, we've sent you a new one. Send the other one back to us when you get the new one."
Well, I think he's working with Nokia in New Zealand at the moment to get a new one, so sure he will.
What a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm so alarmed actually by the whole And now it turns out that the new, Stephen Sinofsky, also this week, is out of Microsoft. Now, he was the boss of Windows. And so he's been responsible for Windows 8, Windows 8 RT. I don't know what involvement he's had in Windows Phone, but I guess he was just the operating system boss. So who knows? Maybe he had some involvement. Anyway, he's been replaced now, it turns out, by a woman called Julie Larson Green. And I thought, wait, I recognize that name from something. It turns out Julie Larson Green is the woman who championed the ribbon in Office. And the ribbon in Office has permanently ruined Office for me. And now she's in charge of Windows.
How long do you spend looking for any given tool in Office now when you're trying to find something?
It makes it so hard to do basic stuff. Previously, you know, I might go through a couple of menus and then I'd find it. Now, I often just can't find things. I have to go and search Google for it to tell me how to do things.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the other thing that really annoys me about Office.
Simple.
Save as. Yeah. How do you do save as in a normal
I'll tell you the way I do it is they hide the menus, of course. I go Alt F and that brings up the file menu and then I just save as just as it used to be. I wish I could turn off the ribbon
or Control Shift S is pretty common.
Right.
There's no shortcut. There's no hotkey shortcut in Microsoft Excel, which is what I want to do save as in constantly.
Right. So thinking aloud in the chat room says using it wrong. Well, okay. I mean, maybe using it wrong. But I used to be a very happy and competent user of Office. And then along came the ribbon. So you might say, well, you should have adapted. Look, I've tried. I just find it to be worse.
There's his suggestion is that you have a whole bunch of shortcuts or quick links in it, which is all well and good, but you shouldn't have to modify the basic UI functionality to get an experience that's usable.
For instance, you know, you can install a plugin in Windows 8 to restore the start menu. You shouldn't have to. The start menu was really good, and now it's gone. Right? You shouldn't have you. Well, if you want it, just install a third party hack. Okay. Yes, you can do that, but it should be good. Out of the box, it should be good.
Oh, well, good. So Windows is careening downhill then, is it?
I'm terrified. I don't want to go to Linux, but the signs are that I might eventually have to. Because I've also tried using OS X, and I really persisted. I used it for a long time, and it was just no good for me. OS X was bad. The hardware was lovely. The software, I just couldn't use it.
I really want to use it again for a while and make notes of what it is I don't like, because I always whenever I try and explain it to anyone I can't explain it, and it's just a bunch of things I really don't like about it. Finder, mainly, just everything about Finder.
So Kevin in the chat room says Excel save as is F12, as I've just discovered.
I'll have to check that, because I thought it was in one version, but not the one I have, like not in Office 2012 or whatever the version I have at work is. But anyway,
the thing about Linux I've actually been using Linux and used Linux on the desktop just about as long as I've been using Windows, but I haven't been using it lately. For a very long time, I haven't used it. But, I mean, one of my first installations was Slackware. I had it dual booting with Windows 3.1 in, like, 1993 or 1994 or something. And it sucked then, and it still sucks now. And if you look at a screenshot of, like, Linux Mint or whatever, it's like, this is fucking ugly. And, you know, okay, it could be worse, I guess, but that's not what I want to use either. I was so happy as a Windows user. I'm still so happy as a Windows user with Windows 7. Windows 8 is just the wrong direction, and then Windows 9 is going to be what? It's going to have Julie's fingerprints all over it. It's going to be ruined.
Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see. I'm happy with Windows 7. I'm not in any hurry to upgrade to Windows 8.
Yeah, I should just stay away from it as well.
Best of life hacker.
It's been a while since we've had one of these. I'm going to have two. Mix your own bleach with household ingredients. Yes, if you've got no bleach, but you happen to have some really specific replacement chemicals, you can just make your own, bro.
So you need a lot of acid, like lemon juice or vinegar, and hydrogen peroxide, which is basically bleach.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that are called bleach, and one of them, it really is just hydrogen peroxide. If you've got it, if you've got hydrogen peroxide, you've got bleach. Mixing your own bleach seems like a really terrible idea.
Also, whenever they say things that can be made from household ingredients, bleach is usually one of the ingredients.
Best of life hacker.
Mix diluted bleach from household ingredients. Bleach.
I've got another one. Maybe I should save it for next week. Yeah, I'm going to save it for next week because you just. No? All right, I'm doing it now. Kill head lice with mayonnaise.
First, remove life from here, then drown them in mayonnaise.
Oh my god!
What?
Have you got a word of the week?
I don't.
Urban Dictionary, word of
the
week.
Rant. I have a rant, though.
All right, go on.
Well, I don't know. I'm moving house soon.
Considered and unexpected segment.
Yeah.
I'm moving house soon. As part of moving house, we have to enroll our 7-year-old, Harrison, in a new school.
Mm.
And where we're moving to, there's only one school that we're in zone for, so we have to enroll them in that school.
Yeah.
And that school closes the school for half an hour every Thursday morning.
Oh, no.
For religious education.
Oh, no. But it's not religious education. It's Christian indoctrination.
Christian religious education, CRE.
You know, if it was religious studies, i.e., here are religions, and we're going to try and give them equal time throughout the year of this is Buddhism, and this is Islam, and this is Christianity, and this is Scientology, and this is Catholicism, and this is paganism, and this is, you know, Druidism. If they would do that, that would be cool, because then kids would be like, these things are not consistent. These things actually are directly contradictory. And are you suggesting that half the world's current population is wrong? And the other half...
I still don't know that I'd be comfortable with that, because I just... 7-year-olds aren't... They're not... That stuff's just not for 7-year-olds. Well, in fact, 5-year-olds upwards, really.
That's why they want to get them now, because they want to infect them with the brainworm of, if you don't follow this particular set of rules, you are a bad person and you're going to hell. And if you do follow these rules, that instantly, automatically makes you a good person.
Yes, they're very credulous, and they are...
They believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus.
Well, they're instructed to listen to teach. What do you mean? What?
They believe in the tooth fairy.
Yeah. What? Anyway, so this is an interesting conundrum for us at the moment. We haven't yet had a chance to talk to the school and find out what... obviously, we can opt out, although, anyway, it shouldn't be opt out, but it shouldn't happen at all, but that's regardless. So we can opt out, but the question is, what does he do when he's opted out? How many other children do it? Is this going to make him an outsider?
I had this at primary school. It still makes me angry that I had to do it.
I know, so did I.
If I had children and they were at a school that did that, I would try to get on to the what's it called, the board of whatever.
Yeah, that's
school, the board of trustees. I'd try and get on the board of trustees and end
that. Something
shit.
I'm already considering.
I would end that shit, because that is not cool. There are places that teach religion, and teach Christianity. They're called churches. They're not.
Well, they're
called
also called Christian
a
school.
Public primary school. Okay, yeah, a public primary school is not the place to indoctrinate children with specific religious views.
I find it wrong on so many levels, because the other thing is that, you know, they're closing, I'm doing inverted air quotes, closing the school for half an hour while they do it. The school closes 5 minutes after it opens on a Thursday morning.
Right.
So the children have to be there for, you know, morning roll call or whatever the hell it is. Then the school closes for half an hour because they can't teach a religious class while they're open.
Yeah.
So for half an hour every week for 40 weeks in a school year or whatever it is, they're closed. That's 20 hours. That's one whole week of school. 20 hours.
Right.
It's 1 week of classroom time.
I would suggest that, I mean, presumably he's already enrolled. I would suggest that you don't ask them to make allowances. You tell them the way it's going to be.
Well, we will as much as we can. I mean,
there's not as much as you can. They are required to teach your kid.
Yeah, so it would be very interesting to see what they do. Well, they're not required to teach a kid while they're closed, of course. They're just required to look after them, I suppose. I don't even know. I don't understand.
And that closing thing
so
is sketchy.
Ridiculous.
The reason they close is they're not allowed to do what they're doing.
Well, that's the loophole that's allowed in law.
And they've been doing that for decades, because that's what they did when I was at primary school
as well.
Well,
it's in the Education Act 1964 is where it's allowed.
Mm. It's time to do that.
I sent an email to the Minister of Education, who has forwarded it to the Ministry of Education, but obviously nothing will happen.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's time for it to stop. It's not okay. It's really not okay. Now, I probably could come up with a toot bag in the final minute of the show. What do you reckon? Is it possible? I'd have to rely on Twitter actually operating quickly. That's not safe. How do I get to my favourites?
Jesus, I don't know.
Oh, my God. There we go.
This seems like the sort of thing you should have organised beforehand, copy and pasted perhaps into the document, and then maybe you could have some reference to...
All right, well, I've found an excellent one. It's not about
so
us.
So NZ Raj saying, ha-ha, great
from,
live caller on Discourse this week.
From
you guys are connected.
Roberg on Twitter. If a man lays with other man, he must be stoned. This is from Leviticus. gay marriage plus legalization of marijuana equals biblical prophecy fulfilled. I think that's very cool.
5.
It's been really nice having you on the show again.
4.
Great. I enjoyed it.
3.
Didn't even say anything about David Shearer, but that dude is dead. He's walking wounded. He might as well be a zombie. See you on the show next week, or maybe in the overflow. Goodbye. I love you.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
We're using that one.
I'm a bit surprised that we didn't talk about David Shearer at all, because I find the whole thing so hilarious.
I just don't care anymore. But Labour is just such a
they're really screwed. Shambles. They're really screwed. When you're not like, if I mean, because I do prefer Cunliffe, but I also believe that he's not a good dude, right? I think he'd just be better than Shearer is all. And that's not good enough. I mean, it should be like, oh my God, this other guy would be so great, or this other woman would be so great, or like these other 5 people would be doing a better job. It's sort of, you know, well, one of those other people might be able to do a better job. And that's a really bad sign. There should be a whole lot of people there that you think could be up to the job, could be really
good. Some people
said
Jacinda should lead the Labour Party. It would be very interesting. It would be very interesting if they did sort of switch it around, if a whole bunch of younger members sort of took up the leadership, but I can't imagine that happening. It's such an old boys game.
I think, yeah, I don't know. She's really great. I don't know if that's her role yet, though. Maybe
chat room says, is it just the leader, though? I don't think it is just the leader.
It's definitely not just the leader.
I just think Labour's lost their way or something.
Ineffective. If you look at the own goals that National have been shooting, they've been detonating themselves. They are absolutely awful. And, yeah. I mean, they should be so far behind in the polls right now. An effective opposition right now would make them into a laughing stock. And the fact that they aren't, it just tells you how ineffective Labour is.
Well, the other thing is even during the election, it was bloody hard to understand what any of their policy was, or even really whether they knew what it was.
Yeah.
And now it's downright impossible. I looked recently, you could go to the Labour site and you could not find policy. There was none.
Yeah.
Like, it's all well and good that it's not an election season, but why should they not have policy still?
They should always have policy.
Well, that was like this thing when I questioned the graph I saw about about employment under John Key. I said, well, you know, it was a global economic crisis, and these things are, you know, we're an economy that's very largely dependent on overseas exports, and you know, I don't think necessarily it would have been much different under Labour leadership. Oh yeah, we would it would have been much better. Well, how? Like, it's not like I can, you know. I have a vague idea of what Labour would do instead of National, but there's no strong policy outline. They didn't present, what do they call it, a shadow budget? They've missed that opportunity twice.
I've just noticed that I've had one of my dials cranked right over to the left. I think that my voice, did it just get a lot of honey added back into it? Oh my God. Oh my God. I've had all my lows on 0, not on the middle as they normally are. So if I turn it right up, you can hear it goes quite weird. And if I turn it right down, it goes down there. Oh, my God. I apologize to our female listeners who usually enjoy my honeyed tones so much. This week will have been very disappointing for you. You probably were wondering what was going on. Oh, God.
I just checked. There is no policy on it.
All right, we're starting from scratch.
Yeah. Well, there's principles. I've got principles.
For the sake of a little bit of base. One thing that I think they would have done differently, although I'm not sure if they've actually said anything about it, is this. They would not have been trying to do the austerity thing, right? Yep. They would not be doing the shaming solo parents thing. They would not.
Well,
there's
a fundamental differences in their party. Would they have made? But the question is, would they have made a whole shitload of difference overall, or would the, you know?
If the government is spending money, there is more money to be spent.
Yeah.
Kind of across the board. Employment, therefore, would have been better because they wouldn't have been firing half the public sector. And, you know, you could make the argument that maybe some of that stuff was too big. I don't know if it is or not. I find it very hard to believe most of what National says because it comes through very unconvincing mouthpieces for the most part.
Yeah.
It's
It's a very it's an extreme case though when you've got a global crisis. You know, perhaps not of our making. I mean, our banks seem to do pretty well.
Well, when you look at when I'm just looking at that labor graph now, and if you look at it, like
let me just finish this thought.
Yeah.
So thinking aloud says that spending is borrowed, so the hole gets deeper. Well, yes, but if you look at the countries in Europe that embraced austerity, and the countries that didn't, the countries that spent, and I think foremost among them was Sweden, they were out of the financial crisis before anyone else. The countries that embraced austerity are still in deep shit. Right? The thing that needed to be fixed to solve the crisis was regulating banks, having rules about how investments should work, not having the really exotic financial instruments. Once you changed those laws, banking could no longer root your whole country. International banking obviously is still going to have an effect. Obviously, everyone has to be able to trade with everyone else. But the idea that the way that you run a business is not spend as little money as possible, right?
Well, it is some business.
Yeah, but bad businesses. Okay, if the way you run your business is, if you think that you make profit by spending no money, you're an idiot. Okay, Apple have gotten to be the biggest company in the world by spending appropriately. Okay, and that has meant in some cases spending a hell of a lot more than other people do on the manufacturing and so on.
Well, there's also more or less two approaches to, if you look at it in the same way, there's two approaches to that, where you can sell a fewer number of products at a higher margin, or a smaller number of, or a much larger number of products at a lower margin.
Or you can do what Apple did and make the best products and sell huge amounts of them at a high margin.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue that they didn't do that, isn't it? So,
wow.
You know, that old thing of, you know, you can either make it up in volume. Well, how about you just have a high volume and a high price? How about that? The way you do that is by having something that's really good. And guess what New Zealand's got? Well, at the moment, fuck all. What we have been known to have in the past was, you know, a beautiful country.
And cows.
A beautiful country.
Milk.
Unfortunately, we've just paid the rent with wood, cows and milk. But there's no reason that we couldn't be exporting, instead of bits of wood. Oh, well, this is the thing we've spoken about before. I don't know if people want to hear this again. I mean, why aren't we? I mean, so IKEA, what is special about, where are they from? Norway, Finland? Finland, right?
Sweden?
Somewhere in there.
Scandinavia.
Northern Europe. What's special about them? It's just wood, right? There's no reason Sweden. Chat room has corrected us. Sweden. I like the Finland, so I'm going to say Finland. Okay, obviously it's Sweden, sure.
Chat room hasn't really corrected us. They've corrected you. I said Sweden.
Well, you weren't sure. Estonia.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing. There's no difference between any of those people, and they've always been friends, all of them guys. They've never had massive wars between themselves. I mean, so we've got wood and we've got clever people, and so maybe we're not known for our design skills necessarily globally. But so why would we export wood for other people to turn into flat-pack furniture when we could make flat-pack furniture and export that? Or real furniture as well, but, you know, it's harder to ship. You know, it's easy to change your reputation. Germany is evidence of that. Eddie in the chat room's just started writing the first fanfic.
He did another one before as well.
Oh no, I didn't see the other one. Where was I going? So Germany used to have a reputation for making absolute fucking shit. They had a reputation for being basically junky and trashy and ugly, actually. And now they have a reputation for being really precise, high engineering, high precision, right? And that has changed in one century, right? It was at the beginning of the 20th century that had a reputation for being basically, you know, useless.
Then they built some tanks.
And then they figured out how to make stuff, you know, with high engineering precision. And the whole, you know, Germany is now, you know, I think possibly the world's Is it the world's third largest economy?
I don't know, but we have the phrase German engineering, so.
Right. They are now amazing. They just changed things around. You know, once upon a time, they were what China used to be thought of as. Like in the 1980s, people called Japanese cars Jap crap, right? But you probably wouldn't say that now.
No.
You know, you can earn a new reputation. And New Zealand at the moment has a false reputation for being clean and green. And I think that we could restore our reputation by getting rid of a bit of dairying and just doing some smarter things. And I'm not going to suggest that Labour would make that happen and National would stop that from happening. And in fact, it would be very hard to make that argument. But I would really support the whatever party proposed to make that happen and actually had specific plans and goals and ways of encouraging it. Because there's no reason we can't do that. Just less dairying would make such a huge difference in New Zealand. We're really fucking our country up. Our waterways are absolutely getting rooted by the higher intensity farming that we've started to do.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely shameful. I think it was last week or the week before we spoke about the number of waterways, which is now dangerous to swim in. You know, measured as dangerous to, you know, the coliforms, the fecal coliforms and so on, are now too high for you to let your children swim in something like half of New Zealand's waterways, which is shameful. Anyway, how did I get onto that? It's really got nothing to do specifically with National or the Labour Party because they've both been in charge through the time where it's all changed and gone wrong. But
hey, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just looking that you can hack any Skype account.
Yeah. That doesn't sound good. I don't like the sound of that.
Allow me to explain it to you.
Yeah.
Create a new Skype account. Use an email address that your target has already registered with Skype. When you try and sign up, it'll say there is already a Skype account. You say, yes, that's fine. Carry on anyway. Create a new user account with your username and password. Whatever username and password you want doesn't really matter. Just remember it. Install Skype. Log in with that username and password. Get going. Then go to the Skype password. Then go to Skype's password reset system. Enter your email address that you've used that is both your target's email address and also the one you've just used with your new Skype account. And hit submit thing after you've forgotten your password, and then the Skype application will pop up a notification in your taskbar that says password token. Go to the Skype application, click on the home screen, you will see password token, then click more info and go to temporary code link. It'll take you to the back end of Skype where you can choose any of the associated accounts with that email address.
Oh no!
And change their password.
And then change their email. Oh yep. Shit! please don't do that to Discourse. Do it to Dylan if you want to demonstrate it.
You have to figure out what email address I've used.
You'd have to figure out what email address I've used on Skype as well, and you'd have to choose from about 20 different domains. So best of luck. Best of luck. My email address is dylan@wibble.net.
Is it? Weird, because I don't get a lot of emails for you.
All right. Hey, I've got an idea.
Fish and chats. Fish and chats. Fish and chats.
This show is cancelled. Beep.